This program is brought to you by BibleWayMedia.org, overseen by the Ulaga Church of Christ in Ulaga, Oklahoma. Hello again. We do want to welcome you back to the Uncensored Dad to the Uncensored Word podcast here in BibleWay Media. We thank you for tuning in again with us. With me, as always, is Brother Matthew Olson from the Chip and Roll Congregation there in Lee's Summit, Missouri, and myself, Russ Earl, from the Ulaga Church of Christ here in Ulaga, Oklahoma. And we thank you for being here with us today. We've been looking at, and we're going to bring to a conclusion today, our segment on how to be happy. Really, we've kind of called it different things, but really we've just been talking about happiness in general, how to be happy, you know, what it means to be happy, and really looking at how people view happiness and those types of things, how to obtain it. But in our final segment here today, as we think about happiness in general, the Christian, if we're honest, and we should have this mindset that if we want to be truly happy, the biggest key, most important thing of all, is making God our number one priority. He has to be the Christian's number one priority. Now, when we say that, we know there are going to be days that we're going to make a mistake. We're gonna have bad days, and we're gonna allow other things to get in the way. But we can recover from that, and we should recover from days such as that. But God needs to be our number one priority. You know, sometimes I think when we look at our week, Sunday through Saturday, we should think about how we're viewing that. You know, Sunday being the first day of the week for the Christian, it is the Lord's Day. It's when we get together with the saints on the first day of the week to have, you know, our Bible classes, to have our worship service, and to be with the saints. And then Wednesday night, we have that time to be refreshed, to be revived. You know, we have our Bible classes, we have our devotional, those types of things. And maybe other congregations, maybe you have a study period, you know, during the week. Maybe you have a Tuesday or a Thursday. Some have a Tuesday or a Thursday, you know, ladies study, or they have a men's Bible class one night, something like that. And I say this is, you know, sometimes during the week, we when the week starts, is people will look, say, well, I can't wait till Friday gets here. And I think for the Christian, we should have the mindset is, I can't wait till Sunday. I can't wait till Wednesday. I can't wait to the next point where we get to be with all of our brothers and sisters in Christ gathered together again for that same purpose. And I say that because when we have the mindset instead of I look forward to the next time we get to get together, then we're not focused on a Friday, because when we're talking about a Friday or a Saturday, many times it's we're looking at it as a time of not just relaxation, but for some people, it's a time to party or whatever it may be. But if God's our number one priority, then we're looking forward to the next time that we get to study, that we get to grow together. And maybe it's not just on Sundays and Wednesdays. Maybe we have times during the week that we ourselves look forward to. So, you know, I look forward to tomorrow morning when I get to, you know, before I go to work, when I have my study period or after work, whatever it may be, to be able to study with God and to study God's word. And so we make God our number one priority. What we look forward to changes. You know, what is important to us changes. You know, I know on a Wednesday morning, I'm looking forward to that Wednesday night because we get to be together with everyone again. You know, months, you know, I say sometimes that, you know, we get together on a Sunday and we are restored, we are refreshed. We deal with Monday, we deal with Tuesday, we deal with Wednesday during the day. And then Wednesday night comes along, we get to be revived, and then it helps us get through till Sunday, right? So that helps us get through Thursday, Friday, and then, you know, Saturday, and we get to be together again on the first day of the week. And another reason I say that is because there's a lot of stress in people's lives for a variety of reasons, whether it be work or family or bills or friendships or strained friendships or strained relationships, whatever. And so those stresses can really mount on us. And so we have to try our very best to make sure that we're looking forward to positive things. And the best positive thing we can look forward to is being with the saints again. And when we make God our number one priority, something else we have to think about, and I'm going to say this and then I'll be quiet for a moment, but we have to pray. Prayer, and I've said this before, that prayer is probably one of the most missed, one of the most underused and misunderstood avenues that the Christian has. I think it's probably fair to say that many of us probably don't pray enough. And if you look at Thessalonians 5, verse 17, he says, Paul, the Apostle Paul says here, pray without ceasing. And he doesn't really mean pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, nonstop. But the idea there is that we are to have this desire to pray, that we're not, we have a reason to pray. We think about something, we stop and we pray about it. We pray all the time for different reasons, for different things. And I tell people that you're never going to run out of things to pray for. If you think about our nation, you think about your community, you think about your congregation when you attend, you think about your family, your friends, you think about the lost in the world, you think about the missionaries that are out there, you think about, I don't know, the list goes on and on and on and on. There's plenty of things to pray for. If you picked one thing, you say, in the morning, I'm going to pray for my family, or when I get up, I'm going to pray for my family. After breakfast, I'm going to pray for the church. At lunch, I'm going to pray for all those missionaries that we support and who are out there, in these places that may be safe or may not be safe, whatever it may be. In the afternoon, when I have my afternoon coffee or whatever it is that we do in the afternoon, we say, I'm going to pray for the local congregation. And at evening before we go to bed, we say, I'm going to pray for the brotherhood. And when we think about that, how many different things have we just prayed for? Well, several. There's always things to pray about. That's why the Apostle Paul says, pray without ceasing, because there's plenty of things to pray about. Okay, I'm going to stop there and let Brother Matt add anything you like as we continue looking at making God our number one priority in order to find true happiness. Brother Matt?
I think you talked about like the midweek Bible studies and Sunday, as those are so important because, we need that in between from work to an in-between state. Like, I love when we get ready for church and we can all go together as a family and then we meet other Christians. And I love seeing my kids play with other good Christian children and teenagers, and I really enjoy seeing my wife talk to other Christians we fellowship with, and I enjoy talking to my brothers in Christ, man. I mean, that's uplifting. Or doing something like this is, I look forward to these moments every Tuesday or Thursday or whenever we can to get together to do this podcast, and it's just a joyous thing, and it's kind of like we are making God a priority to do these things. We are making God a priority because we are Christians, and what are we told to do in Mark 16? Right? So it's go into the world and preach the gospel, every creature, I mean, it's a joyous thing, man. And to just, man, it's just, I just love it. I love being with my brothers and sisters in Christ, and you're talking about making God a priority to pray often. Is the ceasing doesn't mean nonstop. It means constantly reoccurring in a state of like a constant thought of God, right? It's we got to stay focused in what we're doing. And like Jesus does in Matthew 6, he shows us how to pray. Does he say we say these things? Some denominations believe that this is the way we do it. We got to keep saying these things over, repetitive, repetitive. No, he's saying these are the certain things. It's God is sacred. It's the church. It's the bread of life. It's forgiveness. It's our own desires. God is not a tempter. It's these certain things that we got to put into our prayer. And I was looking up some other scripture, and Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit. Bring watchful to this end with all perseverance and for all supplication. And what a supplication means, entreat someone in power for help or favor, right? So we also need to be praying, but we also need to be helping and doing different things in our service to God, and then I'm going to read another one. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. There's that supplication word again. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I'm a firm believer of prayer, speaking it out. I'm a firm believer because the way I learn is when I hear something, I learn it. And that's the way I feel in my prayers and our prayers at home is you speak them out so you hear what you're praying about. God knows what you need. God knows what you want. God knows everything about you. But I'm a firm believer of you say it and you hear it. It's a totally different animal. It's one thing to hold it in and, just say a little prayer to yourself, but I'm a firm believer of hearing it and saying it. So
yeah, when you voice it, it's totally different. You know, I think about when you say that, there's and we were talking about this a little bit before we got started here. There's a couple of different places I like to go when I'm feeling stressed. I say I like to go, I mean in my mind, I mean physically. I'll leave and I'll go and I'll bring my lunch or someone with me, whatever it is, and I'll spend the time, you know, walking somewhere, different places. It could be a trail, it could be, you know, a bike path, whatever. And I'll be talking to myself, and I'm sure there's plenty of times that if someone, you know, no one's around, but if someone had been around, they probably think, who is that guy talking to? Because I'll be talking out loud. It won't be loud, but I'll be speaking out loud, and it may be talking to myself. You know, maybe I'm griping at myself for something I did or didn't do, or maybe I'm praying to God, or I'm, you know, bearing my frustrations to the Lord, either about maybe something else, or it could be, if I'm honest, oftentimes about myself. When you say it out loud, like Brother Matt's saying, it's a lot different than just when you say it in your mind. Not that you can't say it, you know, quietly in your mind, you know, something like that, but when you say it out loud, it does kind of help kind of stick with you. You know, and to that end, I think about James, you know, 5 and verse 16. When we talk about praying often, we should pray for one another, and we should pray for those who have sinned. You know, people are going to make mistakes because we are human beings, and there's different ways in which people make mistakes. It could be, you know, they say something they shouldn't. They have a, you know, you use poor judgment, because people are going to make mistakes. It doesn't, I don't care who you're talking about, from the people who you believe to be new Christians, from those who have been Christians for 50, 60 years, people are going to make mistakes. It doesn't matter who you are. Anyone who says, well, I haven't, you know, had to repent of anything in years, they're lying, or they're in a big trouble between them and God. But we need to be those who are praying for one another and praying for other and praying for those who have confess sins, you know, to God. We have that. I think sometimes we fail to realize that not everything has to be public. You know, it's nothing wrong. Like when we offer an invitation, it's commonplace for us to say, you know, if we can help you or assist you in any way, you know, please come forward. Be glad to pray for you. Those types of things. And I think one of the reasons we do that is because it helps people really acknowledge to themselves, look, I've done something wrong. This is why I'm here today, to, you know, to talk to you. And people, I'm not really bothered when people are very generic in when they're asking me to pray about for them, because I don't feel like I need to know every little detail of whatever it is that's wrong. I think I've heard one preacher tell me once, or say one time in a lesson, well, if I don't know, if you're going to tell me what it's about, I'm not going to pray for you. And I thought, to me, that just sounds really nosy. You know, most sins, if we're honest, most sins are of a private nature, either with ourselves or with us and maybe one or two other people. And to me, that's a very private thing. Not everything has to be aired out. Not everything has to, when I say aired out, I mean shouted from the rooftop about everything. There is nothing unbiblical about, you know, apologizing to that person, repenting, you know, asking them to, you know, forgive you, asking God to forgive you. And then if we're honest, biblically speaking, that's the end of it. But for a lot of people today, they have this fear that if they come forward, as we say sometimes, end of a service, of the invitation period, we call it, they feel like, well, you know, I want them to pray for me, but, you know, this is really a private thing. I don't want everybody in the world to, you know, to know what's about. And sometimes people will tell me in very, very detailed what it is, and I'll say, okay, but I'm not going to repeat word for word what they just told me from the whole congregation. Something in private, that'd be making it public. And to me, that'd be defeating the whole purpose of it, right? Mm-hmm. You just said something in private and made it public. Thanks a lot. But we can get the idea very specifically. You know, so-and-so is struggling with some things in their life. They ask for prayers. And to me, for honest, who isn't? Who isn't struggling with things? Because every day there's different things that can cause us to struggle. And that's why I look at James 5 and verse 16. This, to me, sounds like James just encouraging us to, hey, be there for one another. You don't have to know every single detail of what's going on. Just, hey, can you pray for me? You know, there's some things going on that kind of have me stressed out, or, you know, I need to, you know, forgive or ask for forgiveness for, or whatever. Okay. And to me, that's not going to bother me. In James 5 verse 16, says, confess your trespasses to one another. That can be specific. That can be, I think, again, generic, depending on what you're talking about. He says, and pray for one another that you may be healed. You know, if someone comes, and think about it this way, what do we really gain? I put focus on detail because I've always had problems with people saying, well, if they don't tell me exactly what it is, I'm not going to pray for them about it. And usually I've only heard that, I've really only ever heard that once. And to me, that's a easy way to hinder people asking you for help. You know, I've had people be specific and I've had people be very generic. And both times, you know what? I prayed the same prayer. You know, they have the struggle, Lord. We want to be encouragement to them. Because if someone's very specific about something, unless it's something we're talking about, like, you know, I don't know, unfaithfulness to their spouse or something like that, which really, if they're coming forward to that, their spouse probably already knows anyway. I've never had that happen. I'm just trying to think of some way where something's going to change that. But even that, really, that's between the husband and the spouse anyway. But the prayer is always the same or very similar anyway, right? Lord, be with, you know, we want to be an encouragement to them, you know, as they repent, you know, Lord, please forgive them. And we know the Lord's going to. 1 John 1, verse 9 tells us that. We confess our trespasses to him. He's faithful and just. Forgive us our trespasses and forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And that's what James is talking about. Confessing, look, hey, I'm struggling. You know, can you pray for me? Absolutely. That's what we should be doing, you know. And that really, in all honesty, that brings people closer together. You know, if someone says, hey, can you know, I have struggles, you know, every week with some things that, you know, are personal. Okay, sure, let's sit down and pray about it. I think we find that throughout the Bible. We find that encouraged to pray for one another. I think society tells us a lot today that, hey, you need to get up in everybody's business about it. No, I don't. No, I don't. And what really discourages me a lot is when I hear someone say, hey, did you hear about so-and-so? I hate that. I hate that. Especially when someone who, first of all, that's not the way to do it. That's gossip now. And second of all, if someone does not attend this congregation and something else is going on somewhere else, I'll pray for peace and comfort or whatever it is like that. But I don't want to know every detail about it because it has nothing to do with me. We have to be very careful that we have to make it very careful that we don't confuse praying for one another with trying to get up in everybody's business, if that makes sense. You know, there's a lot of that that I think really has always gone on. And I think part of that is because the world we live in, they love drama, right? I mean, you go to the checkout stand, you see all these magazines that have people on there, and what are they doing? They're slamming people. And
with Facebook, we love Instagram, right?
Yeah.
That instant gratification.
Yeah, and it's that sometimes we call it clickbait. You know, do you hear so and so? I'm like, well, that's not clickbait, but it is talk bait, isn't it? It's gossip bait. You know, it may be true, but who are we to go out spreading those things? You know, and I think if we're honest, sometimes if we're not careful, we become guilty of that, and we have to do our best to control that and to do some damage control where necessary. But I say this: the point of James 5:16 is that we should be praying for one another when people confess their sins to God. That we are thankful for that. If we see someone go forward, as we say, to ask for prayers, we are praying for that person later. You know, we pray for them then, you know, with the individual he's praying on behalf of the congregation for this person, and we pray for them later, and we continue to pray for them. We don't go up to them and try to pry into things, and I've seen that before. You know, I've seen men and women do that. You know, sometimes people say, well, that's probably some nosy woman. No, it's not. I've seen plenty of guys get up there and, well, what is it? You know, I'm not going to pray for you. I don't know what it is. And I've told people before at different locations that that is not the Christian mindset. That is not what we're to do.
Well, if you're going to sit there and ask, well, what is it, or I'm not going to pray for you, that's kind of selfish. You know? Mm-hmm. If somebody goes up there and says, hey, you know, I've been struggling with some things, I need your prayers. Who are we to decide, well, I'm not going to pray for you. I don't even know what it is. I mean, it says confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. It doesn't say, hey, you know, Russ, every time that you need prayer from me, you have to tell me everything about your business, right? Mm-hmm. So I can pray for you that you'll be healed. Yeah. But then it also says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If we're not being righteous, I mean, if you're being selfish about that, then you're not being righteous. So, you know, I'm going to sit there, well, Russ, I know all about your business. I know, okay, I'm going to pray for you, A, B, and C, but you left out D. I need D because I can't pray for all these things. D. It's that's selfishness on our regards, you know. Like somebody goes forward for something, I don't need to know all their business. I got to be honest with you. There's so much gossip, you're probably going to find out about it. I mean, because of all the instant gratification of Facebook, Instagram, everything.
Yeah. And we think about how many times we found out about things. I say found out like it's some kind of earth-shattering news that someone has sinned ever. Is that's what how it's treated, right? Someone makes a mistake. Did you hear about so and so? I'm like, you know, and to be honest, I'm like, man, that's terrible that it has reached all the way over here. You know, because people, in my mind, to me, that creates a lot of distrust of ever confessing fault again. You know, I grew up in a denomination, and even in the denominational world, you have the same problem. But I don't ever remember anyone telling me, hey, can you tell me what it is? And I'm like, no, because my response would probably be, why are you being so nosy? What does it matter? You know, we can be as generic as we want, because if we're generic, I mean, it's not sinful. Our only command is to ask others to pray for us, because, you know, we can be generic in the sense that, hey, I need prayers because, you know, I've had difficulties with, you know, some relationship or something with a friend or something. Okay, fine, get it. You know, that's more than enough. I don't need to know every little detail about it. You know, my wife or my spouse and I are having some problems. Okay, I'll pray about it. You know, that's plenty. That is plenty. And then we have to be careful. We don't go on and speculate. And then, cause what happens sometimes is speculation leads to gossip. Right. And I'll quit cutting you out. He's trying to say stuff. Go ahead.
This leads into our other point of, you know, this is attend the service of the saints. If you're gossiping or you need to know all this information, are we going to get those other, you know, maybe those faulty brothers coming back to serve? You know, I mean, it says in Hebrews, what you have here, 10:24 through 25, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, right? We're supposed to stir up good works and love, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another. If we're not going to exhort one another or bring each other up, and we're just going to want to gossip, like we talked about in prayer, of we need to know everybody's business. Are they going to want to come back? And then it says at the end, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Well, what's the day when Christ will return? Are we willing to, and this plays into each other, the prayer and the attending the assembly. And it's like, do we need to know all that stuff?
Yeah.
Do we need to know all this information? Do we need to know? No. Because if we gossip and who knows, we could turn somebody away from to come to the assembly. You know, we're drawing that fine line. You know, I don't want to push anybody away.
We need to show a lot more love for one another and consideration for one another. But I think today we're too eager. Some, I shouldn't say we as if everybody, but there are some who are too eager to look for finding out what it is so they can talk about it and intentionally or not intentionally spread it around. And so that's something we want to avoid. We want to pray for that individual, but also protect them from being discussed when it doesn't have any need to be discussed. You know, if something is needing to be discussed, then, you know, I think it can be just a way to do it. Let me put it that way. But privately, if we're honest, most things can be dealt with privately between that person and God, you know, and so we can pray for them. Or if it involves, you know, someone sinning against someone else, then pray that they, you know, work that out. And then honestly, leave it alone. You know, we don't need to get off of that. You know, it's between them. You know, I said this before, I don't need any more drama in my life. I like it to be drama free, and if something happens that is, you know, that occurred that could cause drama, I want to try to remedy that as soon as possible and move on. And so there's enough stuff in this life to worry about. I don't need to worry about what everyone else is doing. Pray for them. Pray that they can, come through, overcome whatever sin that may be that they're struggling with. Ask the Lord to forgive them as they repent. And because if they repent, the Lord will forgive them. And so we're going to stop there today. When we really didn't get through all this, but that's okay. I think throughout the course of our, was this number seven or so? I forget which one of this is. We've done several of these. We've talked about this. We need to pray for one another. Like Matt was saying, we also need to attend services so that we can be an encouragement to one another, because we are an encouragement to one another. And
Right.
we need to remember that as well. We want to be an encouragement and not a source of discouragement. So we do thank you for being here with us today. Next time you hear us, we're going to be in a 1 hour long format. And so we do hope you'll tune in for that as we begin a new segment. Yeah, Matt's over sweating bullets, right? But I look forward to it. I know it's going to go well. And so we know that, whenever we talk about the Bible and truth, that it's going to go well. So we're going to stop there today, and we hope to see you again here next time on Uncensored Dads and the Uncensored Word. Thank you for listening today. We hope you enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Bible Wave Media by visiting us at BibleWaveMedia.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And we encourage you to please share this program, to like it on social media. Thank you for being with us today.